This is the Beltline to Broadway podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hemert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Patrick Clanton. When the national tour of Oklahoma comes to Durham, it will be the second time that Patrick Clanton has been able to perform in front of his hometown crowd. Clanton plays the role of Mike and understudies for the role of Judd. He shared with me how both daunting and gratifying this experience has been, and that is where our conversation begins. You've done so many amazing shows. You did Sister Act many times. You did Hairspray. You've done School of Rock, which is my daughter's absolute number one favorite. And then Kinky Boots at North Carolina Theater. Those are feel-good shows with messages, like, you know, feel-good shows with a point. This show is really just so layered and different from those. So how has this process of developing this character and working on the tour of Oklahoma, how has this been different from your other touring gigs?
Yeah, oh my goodness. It's been different in almost every possible way. With both Sister Act and School of Rock, we were, although we had some things that were different from the way that they were staged on Broadway, it was mostly a, I don't want to say carbon copy, but they had exactly, like, they had all of the blocking already planned, like, or not planned, but, like, everything was known. So it felt a little bit more like a, just like, we're plugging you into this show that we've already done, that we already know how it works, and everything's good. There wasn't much, I don't want to say there wasn't much creativity, because there was, but, you know, it was very by the numbers, by the books, like, this is what the show is, and this is how you're going to do it. But with this show, because there were a number of things that made it very different, in addition to just the whole, just it being a different kind of tone of show, and a different theatrical experience, for lack of a better term. But you know, on Broadway it was that circle in the square, so it was in a three-quarter thrust, almost in the round, but on tour we're doing it in a traditional proscenium set. So we, and although our director Daniel Fish and our associate director and everybody, they had obviously, you know, had meetings where they talked about how they were going to do things, it's a different story once you're in the room and you're seeing it on its feet. And our director is a very visual person, and sometimes he's not able to really know what he wants until he sees it on its feet. And so that, you know, created a lot of challenges during rehearsals. Or it, just for me, it was just like, oh, this isn't what I'm used to. I'm used to just coming in and, like, you tell me, okay, you stand here, and then this is what you do, and then this is that, and that's it. But with this, it was a good challenges. Like, it was a, you know, a creative process to try to figure out how best to make this show work in a proscenium traditional stage. But it was also, there were some kind of, you know, more stressful moments where, like, we'd make kind of last minute changes to staging. Like, during tech, we completely changed Act One, how it was set up, how it was staged, just almost completely redid it. But it was all for the better. You know, it really, I love the way that the show is now. But yeah, it's one of the reasons that I'm just, like, so proud to be a part of this show, is because it's so different from anything that I've done before, that it really is very special, to me, and it feels like a step forward for me. Yeah, it's been really, really cool getting to see the different reactions to it across the country. It's been very interesting.
And what's so interesting to me about this production, having seen it, I saw it like you on Broadway, is that the text has not changed that much, if at all. The songs are exactly the same. And yet the whole feel of the show is different, which I think, when we look at these golden age musicals like Oklahoma or Carousel, that are so beloved but so problematic in so many ways. There are so many people who just think these shows should be retired and not done. And yet in this production, by almost stripping away the glitz and glam of it, you really understand what the show's about.
Yeah, when I saw the show, I had to keep reminding myself that it was written in 1943, like it felt very fresh and very new. And for some people, they don't believe us when we say that we didn't change any of the text. They're like, no, you did. And it's like, no, most of it is exactly how it was. I think there are some lines that, like, some extraneous line, because we our cast is cut down from, normally a production of Oklahoma has like an ensemble of 20 people or whatever, but because we cut down our cast size, I think there are some extraneous lines here and there that were cut, like that might have either helped with a scene change or something like that. Our set is what's the word I'm looking for? It's just a unit set. It's not, there aren't major
There's no
scene changes.
changing,
And
right.
right, we're just in this one setting the whole time. So, but nothing that everything that we say in the show was present in the script in 1943. We didn't, modify the lines. We didn't, it's just like you said, it's stripping away the glitz and the glam and kind of the, for lack of a better word, like musical theatery-ness of it. It's not these kinds of caricatures that sometimes Oklahoma can kind of fall into, of like, yeah, this is how people talked back then in the old West, and just overly comedic performances. Although the show is still very funny. It's a very, very funny show. Yeah, once you take that away, like you said, you kind of you feel like, oh, this is what the show is about. Interesting. It's, about how a town responds to an outsider, and how, everybody is kind of responsible for his demise. And yeah, it's a pretty, lots of people forget that Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff always kind of had a layer of darkness underneath it. Yeah, I think we've definitely, brought it up to the surface.
As you said, you're understudying this role of Judd. For me, it was brilliantly portrayed on Broadway, but for me, because of this production, I felt the whole thing was centered on Judd. He, yeah, there was this love story and it was lovely, and you've got these really wonderful characters, but for me, real spotlight on this Judd character was so interesting. So talk to me about stepping into that track and taking that on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, the key to making this production work is taking this second look at this character of Judd, and really examining why it is that, why is he the villain? It has been a really interesting, conversation with me understudying Judd because, as you know, a black man, I Curly being white, it's been a conversation that we've had about how Judd is perceived when he is black and how he is perceived when he was white and how that changes the script and the scenario, because I don't want to ruin anything for your listeners. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that Judd dies. I mean, the show's you know, it's been around
The
for
show's
over
pretty
7 years.
old.
Right. But the way in which he dies in our production is very different and could be very, you know, disturbing. I mean, it's disturbing no matter who is playing the role. But I think there is an added layer if I were to, you know, go on. So it's been really fascinating to try to find my version of him and think of like what I think about him, because what I might think about the character might be different from what our judge who plays him every night, Chris Bano, thinks about him, you know. And in my mind, I don't think that he is a murderer. I just think, you know, he's a little bit different. He has these perceptions of what love should be and what he thinks it's supposed to be that makes it very difficult for him to, when Lori rejects him, he just doesn't understand why, because he feels like he's giving her all of the things that you're supposed to give when you're in love with somebody. And it's been really, really fascinating. I mean, this is definitely the hardest role that I've ever, you know, had to kind of tackle. And it's, you know, when they told me I was understudying Judd, which I actually didn't find out until the first day of rehearsal, I was just like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my gosh, I was truly just like so honored to be entrusted with that responsibility. Because like we said, when I saw it on Broadway, it really did just seem like it was a story about, more so about Judd than it was about Curly and Lori. When audiences come to see it, Judd is the one who's sitting center stage. You know, he is watching all of the show happening around him, and you know, everything in the show is done for a reason. Like everybody is sitting in the chairs that they are sitting in at the top of the show for a reason. There's just a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have thought about, that I definitely didn't think about probably when I saw the show on Broadway, that I only know because, you know, I was in the rehearsal room. Now I will say there's a lot that I still don't know about like why certain things are the way that they are. So, and because people always have questions about the show. They're like, what did this mean? Or what was the reason for this? And some of it I might be able to kind of answer, but there's a lot of things that are still, you know, a mystery to me too.
Well, and I think a production like this is so open to interpretation. It invites interpretation because, unlike most Golden Age musicals that are kind of one-dimensional, this is not.
Totally, yeah. And that for some audiences is fun and they like discussing like what they think that something's meant. But then, you know, it's like I said, it's been interesting seeing people's reactions because this show is so different from any other show that's on the road right now, and it's so different from most shows that typically go on the road. I mean, truly, I was surprised when I heard that this production was going to tour. I was like, wow, that's awesome, but how are people going to respond? And for a lot of, you know, audiences who are used to coming to shows presented at their, you know, touring houses, they're not used to having shows where where they are the ones who have to interpret something. They're used to seeing shows where you come and everything is wrapped up and everything, you know, there aren't that many questions to be had. But this isn't really a show where you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy. We're like forcing you to sit up and engage with the show and not just be a passive player. Like the audience is, by watching the show, they are also responsible. Like I said, we're all responsible for Judd's demise. The audience, in a way, is as well. So it's been interesting seeing different people's responses to that, whether people want to engage in the show or whether people were just looking for a night out to go and see Oklahoma. I am very excited to see how DPAC audiences respond. I remember when we went for School of Rock, our cast was like, this has been the best audiences we've ever had. So I'm very, very excited to see what the response is there. I'll say there have been some cities we've gone to where I've been surprised that the response has been as good as it has been. I mean, we were all so nervous to play Oklahoma City, which we played a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh my goodness, they're going to run us out of town. They're just going to be like, what have you done with our show? But for the most part, it seemed like they really enjoyed it. It was a fascinating experience, especially because, Oklahoma, the song is their state song. So when we sang that song, they all immediately started clapping along. Some of them would stand. And then some of them will also stand and clap the second time we sang it, which, once again, don't want to ruin anything for your listeners who haven't seen the show. But when we sing the song for a second time, it's a very different tone, and what has just happened, and it's much darker. So there was this strange feeling for us, hearing them all clap along to that version. But it was really cool.
Talk to me about performing on that DPAC stage and for your hometown crowd. You did it, you came in School of Rock, which, again, my daughter's favorite. She could see that show a billion times and knows every word, every line. And then returning to the stage to DPAC in this, talk to me about performing for your hometown.
Oh, there's nothing like it. It was such a thrill to get to bring School of Rock there, and perform there for the first time. I think I've been backstage maybe once or twice, but it was, I remember seeing, I think the first show that I saw there was Legally Blonde, and that was in their first season. It had just opened. So it was this brand new theater, and it was like, well, does this mean that shows aren't going to come to Raleigh anymore? And well, that's exactly what it meant. Just the excitement of that. I remember all of that so vividly. I mean, I saw, dozens of shows there over the years. I would come back during college and see shows, and after, even just the last show that I saw there was White Christmas in 2019. So,
Lorna left,
all
me too.
And so it's incredibly special, because while you always dream of these things, you dream of being successful and everything, I don't know if so, sometimes it's so hard to see beyond your own backyard. And to me, growing up seeing tours both in Durham and in Raleigh when there was Broadway Series South, it seemed so far away. It seemed like this distant thing. Like I obviously I'm watching these tours, and so I know that these jobs exist. I know that people perform for a living, but something in my brain just wouldn't allow me to fully see myself doing those things. So to be here and getting to do it is truly, like, it's feels miraculous in a way. I don't know how to describe it. It just, I wish I could go back and tell my young self, like, no, yeah, you're going to do that someday. You're going to be here.
Can we talk? When you say you went to tours and you saw these shows, and it just seemed unimaginable that you, as a young black kid from North Carolina, would be able to do that. I feel like we're kind of talking about representation on stage. Is that something you and this cast are thinking about as you're traveling around the country?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I, like you said, growing up, I saw a lot of shows, but most of the time, if there were black bodies on stage, it was because the story necessitated it. Like if it was Hairspray or The Lion King or something like that. Like it was because of it, they were there for certain reasons and not just because, you know. So I didn't I Like I said, when I saw Legally Blonde, I don't remember seeing that many black people in that show, or people who looked like me. Even I'm very tall, and I'm not, you know, very muscular to say. Like I've got, you know, a bit of meat on my bones, and I didn't see a lot of guys who looked like me on stage. So yeah, for a long time, I thought, you know, I wasn't quite the right look, or I just, you know, didn't, maybe that wasn't where I belonged on these tours. But yeah, things have started to change, and things are getting better. We have two trans cast members in this production, and they're playing, you know, romantic leads in a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. And I just think that's so cool, and so it feels like progress. And it's been wonderful to hear. I think, you know, we all had some concerns about audiences not, yeah, and I don't want to say like concerns as in like how are audiences going to respond to this, but like we were more concerned for like safety reasons. How certain audiences would respond. We didn't want, you know, like heckling or crazy things like, you know, we were kind of imagining worst case scenarios when it came to our casting, which there are people out there on the internet, you know, trolls who have, I've seen, we've had several comments commenting on the diversity of the show that have been, you know, they're trolls. They're people who have nothing better to do with their life, and for some reason are triggered by seeing
And probably haven't
different
actually
bodies.
seen the show.
Oh no, once a, absolutely not. They haven't seen the show. But it's been so wonderful hearing audiences. I mean, audiences love Sis as Ada Wanni. She just you know, they absolutely go crazy for her. And it's been so wonderful. And to know that there could be kids or anybody really who is seeing a trans woman and also a trans man on stage, maybe for the first time in a national tour. You know, they're truly, we only recently had, you know, the first trans woman, I think, originate a role on Broadway in Head Over Heels. That was only like 4 years ago, or less. So it's really, really cool to think that, you know, people who see this production could be inspired to go for it, and to know that there is a place for them in theater. For me, you know, I hope that there is, you know, a large black gay kid in North Carolina who sees the show and sees me on stage. And you know, there's something about knowing that someone who where you came from is now doing this. When Ariana DeBose first got Bring It On, that was a big moment for me because she was someone that I grew up doing like show choir with, and we were in a show together, and you know, she was someone that I always admired growing up. But that I was like doing shows and things with. And once she got bringing on, I was like, oh, so wait, I can do this too. Like, because she's Black. She's, you know, I mean, we have very different skill sets. She's an incredible dance. I mean, she's an incredible dancer, actress. She does it all. She's amazing. But that was really one of she was really one of the first people that made me go, oh, well, if she can do it, then I can do it, right? Because I mean, we both kind of came from the same circumstances and the same place. So there is something very, very, very important about seeing someone who looks like you, and seeing someone in this case who was from the same area as you, make it on in the theater world, and you know, makes you think, oh, I can do it too.
The National Tour of Oklahoma runs through Sunday, April 3rd at the Durham Performing Arts Center. I'll put ticket information in the episode notes. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to this podcast. Leave us a review. Follow us on social media on Facebook or Instagram at Beltline to Broadway or Twitter at Beltline to B-Way. Or visit us online at www.beltlinetobroadway.org. Until next time, I'll see you at the theater.